Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. We can say that in here. Merry Christmas. It's okay. I want to say Merry Christmas. What an incredible time of year. I found out some things. It's interesting. Linda said if you have a question regarding the streaming, talk to the people in the booth. And that's Rob and Floyd. And I say that because a couple of weeks ago, I had somebody talk. They were talking about Terry and I, and she referred to me as the emotional pastor. And so that really struck home. And you know what? That's okay. I am who I am. You are who you are. And we need to respect that. And I thought that was funny. And so I was supposed to do all of these Advent messages. I was supposed to be here last week, and wouldn't you know it, Bob messed up and misscheduled, and the church has been so kind to find a... I was buried in guilt for a day or two over that. That's just the way I am. I was emotional about that. But God had put it on my heart. I want to preach some messages on Advent. And it was so incredible to go to Sunday school this morning because Dave had a lesson on Mary. And last Sunday I would have preached a message on Mary. So it's kind of leading right into the message I have for us this morning. Let me say this. I want to clear some air about some things. First of all, Jesus was not born on December 25th. That might strike somebody to the very heart, but he was not born on December 25th. We commemorate his birth on December 25th. Hopefully I didn't say September, but December 25th. We commemorate his birth, and we need to do that. He's our Lord and Savior, and we need to focus on that incredible event that happened when God sent him. So I want to set the stage for this because I'm going to talk about some individuals. Today I'm going to talk about Joseph, the father, the earthly father of Jesus. And next Sunday I want to talk about the shepherds and their impact on this whole scene. But I want to set the stage for this. That time when God sent Jesus, they had not heard from God for 400 years. No prophets had been sent. Nobody had come and proclaimed God's word. And they were feeling pretty out of it. And here, all these things happening, just encapsulated in a number of events. But I want to set the stage. The timing when God did this, Israel was in a time of chaos. They were in a time of chaos. They were ruled by the Romans. They were not a country of their own. They were allowed to have their religion, but the Romans ruled everything. They taxed them hard. We find that out when Jesus gets born. And so it's a time of chaos. For Joseph and Mary, it was a time of shame, and it was a time of pain. I want you to think about it. I want to make sure we have that perspective there. If you remember the story of Mary, she's going to be pregnant, and by the Holy Spirit, and that had to be scary. And so she finds this out from an angel, the angel Gabriel. That's significant because that's the one angel named to go talk to her. And Gabriel was close to God, understood by the Jews for that, and he comes and talks to her and says, "You, most blessed woman, are going to have the Messiah," basically. Wow. That's got to have a real impact. But I know that in the back of her mind, she's thinking, "Wait a minute, I'm not married. I've not consummated this marriage, and I'm going to be pregnant." I'm thinking in the back of her mind, she's thinking that. But her faith overcomes that and says, whatever's to be, let it be. And so what's really interesting, it came out in the lesson today, she immediately goes to Elizabeth. She immediately goes to Elizabeth. And what happened with the angel is substantiated by what Elizabeth says. Her baby jumps in her womb when she comes into the house and mentions and calls out, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, tells her, substantiates, yes, you are going to be the mother of the Messiah. Wow. Did she not need encouragement? Don't we all need encouragement, especially when we're asked to do something that's kind of tough? Well, she does. Wow. Just incredible. So it's a time of pain and shame. It's shame for Joseph. We'll see that in a minute. And it's a time of pain also about, well, how is this all going to work? By the way, we serve a God that does the impossible. A virgin can't get pregnant. Scripture, Isaiah 7:14 says, the Lord Himself says, lo, a virgin will have a child. That's impossible. The situation between Joseph and Mary and her parents and his parents is impossible. And yet here we have it. God works it all out. But I want to focus this morning on Joseph. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. So we want to focus on Joseph and his circumstance. I want to preface this. Mary goes to Elizabeth for 3 months. And I suspect, we don't know for sure in Scripture, but I suspect Joseph's unaware of what's happened. And she's with Elizabeth for 3 months and then comes back and she's showing. And I think that's where we pick up Joseph. She's showing that he's carrying a child. So here's what it says in verse 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I want you to understand what the sequence here. He considered he was going to do it, and then the angel comes. Let me break in here. I got to do this. When we make up our mind to do something, and then God reveals something else to you, you better do it. You better do it. That's what happens here. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary into your as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. That's important. That's the same thing the angel said to Mary. Because he will save his people from their sins. Did you hear that? He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. This goes back to Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Can you hear that? God with us? We have God with us, who put our faith in Him. He's with us. And sometimes we get caught up in all the junk and we forget that. He is with us. He did it all so that would happen. Then Joseph, listen now. Then Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Wow. That's incredible. You know, several years ago, I taught at Vernard College over here when it was running in Oskaloosa. And I taught a class called Child Development. And so that was, when you teach a class, you learn it. Sometimes when you sit and listen to it, you don't learn it too well. But when you teach it, you got to know it. And I went through all the physical and emotional development in human beings from conception to death. And One of the most interesting times of development in the human being is when we're 2 years old. Remember when you were two? Be glad you can't. Be glad you can't. Because there's a term that goes with that, the terrible twos. Because there's two words that we tend to really focus on when we were two. I don't remember it. Thank the Lord for that. Is no and mine. No and mine. And what they're doing when that camp, they're trying to become independent. That's what the child's becoming, independent. They're trying to define themselves, so they say no a lot. And really good parents help them understand no will not work all the time. But I would be here to tell you this morning that many people have not gone beyond two-year-olds. Me and mine. It's all about me and mine. That's part of our carnal nature. It's innocent when you're a child. But when we're grown up and we're all about me and mine, we're living in a society all about me and mine. I want to tell you something. Joseph did not have that mindset. And hear me now. Christians should not have that mindset of me and mine. Our mindset is, what does God want? What does God want in my life? What does God want in anybody around me? I want to be like Jesus. And Joseph could have had that mindset. But he said, basically, no, I'm not going to go that way. Because he had the power to do it. In that society, men ruled the roost. You hear that, ladies? Men ruled the roost. I'm not saying that in a proud way. Don't misunderstand me. But they ruled the roost. He could have had her stoned. He could have had her shunned. He had the power to do that. Praise God, we don't have that anymore. But he chose not to. This is an incredible thing. I want us to understand Joseph. Joseph did an incredible thing. He had a mind to do it, but he chose not to do it. Now, you know he must have felt some shame and anger and hurt. Can you understand the feelings when she comes back and he finds out she's pregnant? He's a righteous man. By the way, every one of the individuals that God involved in the birth of Jesus Christ were righteous. Except Herod. Herod was a different story. But Joseph and Elizabeth and her husband and Mary, they were righteous. And then when they go to get him circumcised, the people that showed up there, righteous people, God had righteous people in place. So Joseph marries Mary. He obeys the angel. That's incredible. He obeys the angel. So he marries Mary. And he names he's the one that names the son. He names him Jesus. And by the way, the husband and wife are in agreement on that. They name him Jesus, the Son of God. Now he knows he's not the father of this son, but he knows this son is the Father of God Almighty, and God has entrusted him to his care. Think about that. He's been entrusted to his care. He's not a king. He's not a prince. He's a carpenter. He's a common guy. But I want us to get some insight into him. I want us to get some insight into him. When the Magi come, do you remember that story? We'll talk about that next Sunday. When the Magi come, Jesus is about 2 years of age, correct? The Magi come, and they present him they present Jesus with three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is significant. And remember, the Magi didn't take a shortcut. They went by the way of the king, King Herod, and asked, well, where is this prince? And Herod's thinking, what prince? No, the one that's prophesied. And they did some research, and it's in Bethlehem. So they go to Bethlehem then, and the king says, well, bring it back to me so I can go and worship. Yeah, right. So they go, they present their gifts, and then they, warned by an angel, they go back a different way, and then Joseph has another dream. And in that dream, the angel says, take Jesus and take him to Egypt, because Herod's going to cleanse the land of two-year-olds and under. Listen again. Joseph obeys. How could he afford to do that? The Magi came with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so God provided the resources. This is a poor carpenter. God provided the resources so that he could protect Jesus. Then remember when he's 12 years old? They come back, Herod dies, they come back to Nazareth. What's incredible here is everybody in the Scripture said nothing good comes out of Nazareth. If you read the Scripture, they say that they had it all wrong. Jesus, they thought he'd been born in Nazareth. No, he's born in Bethlehem, the prophesied city, and they were all confused because they didn't follow Jesus. So here we have, if we look at a couple other things, I want to catch us about Joseph. In Luke 2, we see Joseph and Mary going to the temple so Jesus can be circumcised. That's 8 days after he's born. And Joseph does that. Remember, he's not his son, but he treats him just like his son. So they go and he gets circumcised. You remember, there's two prophets that show up and talk to him about who this baby is. Wow. And then when they're 12 years old, they take him to Jerusalem for a visit, and then they leave, and like you do with most kids, you let them run around with the other kids, and a day later they find out he's not there. So they got to go back to Jerusalem, and that's Joseph and Mary go back to Jerusalem, and they find him and challenge him. What are you doing? He says, I'm about my father's business. And they knew exactly what he was saying. And Scripture says that he went back with them and submitted himself to those two, Joseph and Mary. Now, this is the last time we hear about Joseph. I don't know what happened to Joseph. I don't know what happened to him. Nobody knows. I have not seen any research on that, but nobody knows. But there's one thing about Joseph. He never says a word. You notice that in Scripture? Mary says something. Elizabeth says something. Zechariah says something, but not Joseph. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, we have men, listen to me now, men. We have men that don't say much, but they do a lot. That's okay. God plans for that. We have other men who do a lot and say a lot, and we have some men that just say a lot. Don't misinterpret that. But Joseph never says a word. And so I thought about what kind of interaction did Joseph have with Jesus? Jesus was the son of a carpenter. And I believe that Joseph had a carpentry shop somewhere, part of the house or whatever. And he built furniture and desks and a variety of things. And as any son would, he worked with his dad. And he watched his dad work. Jesus did. Jesus didn't have to do it. I believe it says after he was 12 years old, he went back and submitted himself to Mary and Joseph. And I believe Joseph had an influence on him. Of course, the one that had the greatest influence on Jesus was God Almighty, because he was God. But there had to have been some influence from Joseph. I believe that's true, because Moses influenced God in some of the things God did when he brought the people out of Israel. But so I think Joseph influenced him. And I think we can see some things that may be here. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, you call him Abba, Father. By the way, that's the exact term that sons, respectful sons, used with their father. And I'm sure that he used that with Joseph throughout the time that he was being raised. And I think if you look at the life of Jesus, you can see that there are little things that Jesus did and said that reflect Joseph, because we don't know what Joseph told him. I'm sure Joseph told him some stories. Maybe some of the stories that Jesus related, he included some of the stories that Joseph told him. I know that's kind of shaky ground, because Jesus is God Almighty. He knew everything. But I know he cares about what we think and what we do. Paul says that Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He had to have seen some of that from Joseph, his sacrifice. Jesus did that. That was the one purpose that Jesus had when he came. The most important purpose was to die for us, that we might have our sins forgiven. Both Joseph and Jesus did not have the "no and it's mine" syndrome. That's carnal. I'm here to tell you, it's just flat carnal. And God came to help us do away with that. And I believe this, we need more people like Joseph in this world, not the honorable Joseph who's going to do the right thing by quietly divorcing Mary, not that kind. We need a Joseph who had the dream and chose to obey. We need men and women who have a dream, and the dream is given here in God's Word, and we will be obedient, because Joseph was. We need people who don't worry about what other people think. Believe me, people were saying and thinking a lot of stuff during the pregnancy and the birth. We need those who are less concerned about themselves and more concerned about others and what God wants. We need dads and husbands who take time to listen and to love and to train, and moms who are patient. And believe me, moms are more patient than men. My children will attest to that. There may be no quotes in a book somewhere that you or I have made. No newspapers may write about us. No interviews on TV. No awards or accolades may be done in our name. But I would like to think, like Joseph, it doesn't matter. What matters is, what's your relationship with God Almighty in Jesus Christ? That's what matters. Everything else flows out of that. And when that gets messed up, you got to go fix it. You got to go fix it. What's important, we're walking with Jesus because Jesus earned that. Just like we can catch glimmers of who Joseph is as a man that Jesus grew up with, of course, our ultimate model is Jesus himself. But I ran across a monologue reflecting what Joseph might have been thinking during these times when he angel came to him, and then he married Mary. He did what God told him to do. I want to give you this monologue that I think he would, I modified it, but I think he would have been going on in his mind, because we never hear him talk. So listen. This is Joseph speaking. I'll tell you that when Mary came to me to tell me that she was pregnant, and I could even see it, it was like a dark cloud came over me. I had been preparing for our marriage. The time was right. I loved Mary and her family, and I knew her family was pleased with me. It was a match made in heaven. It was a time that was full of light, hopefulness, and joy as we looked into the future together. But that news, that story that she told me, what was I to do with that? I know she was afraid of what I might do, that she could see it in my eyes. I know that the darkness I was feeling was visible in my eyes. I didn't say much then and there, but I listened and I told her, well, I have a lot to think about. I really did have a lot to think about. What a story. An angel? But she told it with such passion. The Holy Spirit was the one who made her pregnant. Really? The look of awe and wonder in her face as she said it to me almost made me believe it. But how could I? How could I? No one else would believe it. Everyone else would laugh and talk about such foolishness, and I'd be the brunt of all kinds of jokes. I didn't know if I would be angry or sad or both. The cloud of darkness and uncertainty descended on me, and I was very low in those days. I knew that the law would allow me to have her publicly humiliated and even stoned if I desired. The thought came to my mind. She had betrayed me. She had misled me. She had ruined my plans for the future. My name was going to be dishonored and I would be mocked. I didn't want any of that. But that anger subsided in me because I loved Mary. She had been like a light to me, brought me such hopefulness. I couldn't harm her. Even though we were not officially married, we were betrothed, which in our culture was a binding contract. The only way for me to break that was to divorce her, and I decided to do it quietly. I wanted to do that so I would not draw attention to what was pretty obvious. No one could miss the bulge in Mary's stomach. Quietly, I would divorce her. And quietly, I would retreat to my despair. As I lay down at night, I couldn't help thinking about all that I had lost and all that had been stolen from me. That night, while I was sleeping, something strange happened to me. Praise God. I had my plan in mind. I knew what I was going to do, but then this dream wouldn't let me go. In my dream, an angel appeared to me and said, Joseph, son of David, significant, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home to your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I couldn't believe it. Was this just a dream that I had concocted on my own because of the darkness of my circumstances? Because I wanted some way out? But I love Mary. What was this all about? I woke up, but I didn't open my eyes yet because I wasn't sure what to think. I had this overwhelming feeling of peace and comfort and presence. I wanted this dream to be true. I wanted that light, that joy that I had to be real again. And so I slowly opened my eyes, and it was as though the room were full of light. I squinted into the brightness, and I knew that the dream hadn't been my own design, but was from God Almighty. There were too many coincidences. One coincidence was Mary said we were to call him Jesus. And the angel told me the same thing. I knew I had no choice but to do what the angel in the dream had told me to do. I wasn't going to divorce Mary. I wasn't going to hide in the darkness of my pain. I was stepping into the light that God had shown on me, and I would do that, what He called me to do. I didn't care what it might cost me in reputation. I didn't care what others might say. I only cared that the cloud of darkness was lifted, a light was drawn on the earth, and I was going to be a part of it. However God wanted me to do it. And He did. Now, I just gave you what I think He might have thought. This was a righteous man. This was a godly man. God spoke to him and he did it. Listen, men. Don't ever ignore the impressions God gives us. I've never had a dream where an angel came to me. Never had that. Maybe somebody has. But I've had impressions from God. Bob, do this. Bob, do that. I want you to preach. Ooh, I can teach little squirrely rugrats. I can do that, but preach. You do what He tells you. And Joseph got to see incredible things. Don't know what happened to him. He was not around when Jesus started his ministry, so I'm not sure what happened. And we'll never know, but I can see what he was like when he raised Jesus. We need more men like Joseph who will do what God wants them to do, no matter what the price or cost. And I'm here to tell you, you'll see the impossible. You'll see miracles. I have a message that I've been working on. I was going to give it. I haven't been able to plug it in. It's all about duty. We're called to duty. And when we do our duty in Jesus Christ, we see miracles. And I've seen them by doing what God wants me to do. I want to challenge you to do that this morning as we celebrate Christmas and we focus on Jesus. So I'd like those who are going to come and do the candle lighting to come up, and we're going to light the third candle of Advent.
We thank God that Joseph didn't allow his pride to get in the way of God's plan.
We thank God that Joseph didn't allow his pain to overcome him in anger.
We thank God that Joseph didn't let the darkness of his sadness cover up the light God wanted to shine in the world.
May we all, like Joseph, fix our eyes on God and not on our own selfish desires.
May we all, like Joseph, in the midst of our pain, turn our eyes to God and not inward.
May we all, like Joseph, let the light of Christ shine in us for the glory of God.
Today we see Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, in a new and inspiring light.
Today we light the third candle of the Advent wreath as a symbol of the light of Christ in us.
If we could pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today recognizing the role that Joseph played in Jesus' life. Joseph was the earthly father that you provided for Jesus and was a wonderful role model as we can see. Lord, we then think about the Heavenly Father and for Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for everything that you've done, for everything you provided for your son. And Lord, I just thank you that we have Jesus to celebrate in this season. And I just ask for your blessings and on this church and during this time.
Please stand with me. Oh, come, all ye faithful. joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Praise the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye God, hosts of heaven above.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will go with each and every one this morning. I pray that you go with them in this Christmas week. I pray that the reality of Christmas would be made real to each and every one of us, and that we would be fortified and encouraged in our spirit to just follow you wherever you lead in the year to come. Be with each one, I pray. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. God bless each and every one of you.